Hi, it's Michelle. Thank you for joining me for this segment of Daily Bread with Jam, a Holy Spirit You Channel podcast. We are whosoever will hear, because God is a whosoever will God. Today we're going to be talking about the scripture, and he, Jesus, could do no miracles there, or works in some translation. So we're going to hop right into it. Let me read this to you. The word of God in Matthew 13, I'm not going to read, just know that I'm in Matthew 13. The verse that I am keying off of is, let me see how many verses are here. Well, actually, I can read this section. Now, the subtitle, I'm in blueletterbible.org. I'm online. I typically like to just to hold my Bible, but I'm not. I don't have it with me at the moment, so I'm just going to, my go-to online Bible is Blue Letter Bible or blb.org, and I'm in Matthew 13. The subtitle of this particular passage, section of the passage is Jesus Revisits Nazareth. Jesus Revisits Nazareth. It also corresponds to Mark 6, verses 1 through 6. And Luke 4, verses 16 through 30. So I'm going to go ahead and read Matthew 13, starting at verse 53, and I will read through to Matthew 13, 58. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence, or from there. So whence is from, whence is from where, thence is to there. I think that's how I remembered it. I used to have a whole system of remembering the thences, the whences, the thous. We're not going to get into all of that today. But he departed from there. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, from where, hence, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Or miracles. Is not this, now understand two things. Let me get through this passage, Lord help me, because I'm ready to go. The Lord is ready to go on this. So let me finish reading. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and is his brother James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? So he named all of his brothers, named his father, his mother, his son. He didn't really name Joseph. He named his mother. He called him the carpenter's son. And his sisters, and are they not all with us? Whence then, from where then, has this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. We'll talk about that another day. This is the key. And he could do not many works there, or miracles. Some even King James versions don't say mighty works, they say miracles. And he could do not many miracles there because of their unbelief. He could do not many miracles there because of their unbelief. Let me go back to the top. So he had finished preaching. He, Jesus the Christ, Savior of the world, died for all that all may live. He finished preaching. Wherever he was leaving from, he was headed to Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth. So it says he came into his own country, and he taught them, the people of Nazareth, there in their synagogue. And they were astonished. Here's the key. They were astonished. They saw the miracles. They felt the Spirit, the presence of God. The presence was tangible and palpable. They had the experience. And then watch what happened. Familiarity. Is not this, they don't say Joseph, they say the carpenter's son. We know Jesus as a carpenter. The way he presents himself is as a carpenter. What else would the builder of the house be except a carpenter? We'll talk about that another day. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And then they list all of his brothers. They don't list his sisters in verse 56, but they refer to them. Are they not all with us? Don't we know all of them? Then where did he get all of this, and who does he think he is? Familiarity. They know him, but they don't know him. And because of this, this is what we do. Because we think we know, because we've been around certain people, places, and things, we get offended when God chooses to use someone that we think we know in a way that makes us look bad. But it's not really that we look bad. It's that the wrong spirit is in us. So even when it's God speaking, I'm offended because I know you, but I didn't know that. I know your family. Why didn't I know this about you? Familiarity. We are more willing to put stock in our own beliefs and experiences with people than we are to accept the fact that none of us is in control. The spirit of familiarity has nothing to do with life, right? I can know you, but I also have to give God opportunity to move and grow in and through you just as I do in myself. It's all part of the same process. And so Jesus, it says here that because of their unbelief, Jesus is not limited. God is not limited. With God, all things are possible. But he also invites us into the process in a way where we can experience miracles. We are the beneficiaries of his supernatural goodness. And he manifests that in ways through us so that we can be blessed to be a blessing. I know there are many people that have gone through this experience. I don't know them, but I know there are many that have. Why? Because God is God, and I'm one of them. And he's no respecter of persons. He will respect choices. He does not respect persons, meaning we all have equal opportunity in God. Is it going to always manifest the same way? No, that's not what it means. He didn't say everybody will have the same results and that or that the results will always look the same. But the principles of the process, the principle of the personality and the person of God does not change based on our circumstances. I know you, but that doesn't mean I know you. I can know of you without knowing you. This is the situation here. You have people here. Jesus returns to his own home. And if we follow Jesus, if we read the whole Bible, particularly the New Testament, where Jesus has entered his time of ministry, he's going from place to place, basically sowing the seed of the word that is going to come up after he's crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected, and Holy Spirit is poured out. That's the rain of the Spirit that's going to fall on the word, the seed of God that Jesus has planted during his ministry. He literally goes back to his own home, his home country, to do the same thing he's been doing everywhere else, which was to save, heal, deliver, and because they knew him or knew his family. Are they not right here with us? Where's he getting all this stuff from? So effectively making themselves God, we're going to believe what we believe over what God might be doing in and through this man, I'm going to say. We're going to choose to believe what we know. When Jesus came, we know this The reason he went there wasn't necessarily to visit his family. Jesus said, my work is to do the will of him who sent me, meaning Jesus wasn't going home because he was homesick. He was going to do miracles. That's why it's important. He was going to do for them, his home country, what he was doing for everybody else. That's why that last sentence is so important. He could do no mighty works, miracles, great exploits, all referring to the same thing. He couldn't be God in that place. He could not be God there because of their unbelief. Unbelief is not a lack of belief. It's a belief in the wrong thing. They believed in something. So unbelief, in this case, is a reference to the lack of faith. When we talk about disbelief, I can be a believing person and just be astonished by something, right? So I'm in disbelief. Did that really happen? That's not the same thing as unbelief, which is a wrong application of belief. So they believed in something, but what they believed in did not constitute faith. Faith is that I believe that God is, that God exists, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. In this particular situation, and this is something that we do all the time, I've known you for this however many years. Who do you think you are doing XYZ? We may not articulate it that way all the time, but a lot of times we do. A prophet is not without honor except in their own homes. Now, in their own home country doesn't necessarily mean, it could mean, but it doesn't necessarily mean the people closest to you. It could just be people that think they know you or your family. You've lived in this community how many years? I've seen your parents. I've seen all your brothers grow up, your sister. I knew your grandmother. Familiarity. Because now what I have done is I'm taking stock and I'm putting my belief in my natural mind, in my natural experience, and that means that I am simultaneously shutting God down. Not because he can't, but because when he sees that, he won't. He could do no, because there was no faith. How many people got healed that day? It doesn't say. How many people got delivered out of sin that day? It doesn't say. Why? Because he couldn't do anything. There was no faith. There was faith, and this also a misuse of the term, there was unbelief, which means there was not faith. It doesn't mean there wasn't belief. I need us to be clear, because we do this all the time. Oh, girl, I know. Girl, who do you think you are? Sit down. Stop preaching. Who do you think you are? And sometimes it's said just like that. Like, hey, stop playing. Sometimes it's said in a very intentionally derogatory way. Let me just say this. Any teaching, preaching, sharing, or whatever I do, trust me, it's not something I aspire to. Let me tell you why. Because you have to have, in order for it to be authentic, in order for it to be guided by the peace of God, there has to have been multiple experiences to bring about the passion, to bring about the authenticity. So when someone says, who you think you are, it's like, what do you mean, who do I think I am? I'm doing what the Lord put me here to do. Well, how you know that was the Lord? Well, how do you know it wasn't? The only people that get challenged when Jesus is in the house are people that don't believe in Jesus. I don't care how many times they go to church. It doesn't matter. The only spirit that is challenged by Jesus is an anti-Christ spirit. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the background, that doesn't matter because this is all spiritual initially. So there has to be something within our Constitution that says this is Jesus the Christ, the Savior of the world. The world is the people. The earth is the planet. He came for all. So when I say whosoever will, it's whosoever will. Why? Because that's in the Bible. So God the Father, God the Son says, agreed, Son, you're going to die for whosoever will. That none should perish, but that all should come to repentance and therefore have eternal life. This is what he says. That's for everybody. Everybody that was born into being seriously in need of healing. Seriously in need, sin. Seriously in need of healing. He died for all. He's given us the blueprint. He's told us what to do. Then he came and showed us the way. Then he provided himself to lead us along the way. So what are we complaining about? What is the offense to be taken if we actually benefit from everything he does? So anyone that has an issue with the word of God means they either there's something in them that does not want to believe or is afraid to believe. Who do you think you are? I know your mama. Your dad's the carpenter. Everybody know him. He's building stuff around here all the time. So you think you're better than him now? Mm-mm. He could do no. Not he was what? There was no faith in the place. There was no expectation. There was no hope. There was nothing that could facilitate a connection. There was nothing that could facilitate what Jesus was ready to do. There were no vessels ready. What I would encourage you in, and I'm proof. I'm living proof. So I don't have a problem talking about it. I'm living proof. But I would encourage you to examine your familiar connections, because the more you are tied to familiarity, to in the spirit of familiarity, to things you are familiar with, people, places, and things. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about your support systems. I'm not talking about we can't have these things. What I'm saying is, when the Lord is trying to speak to you, are you going to rely on your knowledge, or are you going to be willing to step away for a minute and say, Lord, I need to hear what you're saying? As I've said before on several of my episodes, segments, whatever we want to call them, he's not going to fight you for it. If you want to rule your life, he's going to let you rule your life. Doesn't mean you're any less accountable. But he will honor your choice. Told me straight up, okay, Michelle, you can sit on the throne or I can sit on the throne, but we're not going to both be up there. And that's the decision that we have to make when we talk about humbling ourselves and being repentant, seeking God's face and turning from our own wicked ways rather than telling by everybody else what their wicked ways are. Did you know that simply by thinking that somebody else has a wicked way, if you have not repented, then you're also responsible? Right? We don't think about these things. So we think that by God telling us things, he's taking things away. He might be taking things away, but he's taking away the things that do not give life. Pivot out of cursing into blessing. Cursing is death. Blessing is life. Everything he did is about life. God is life. We say God is light, God is love. At Christmas time, I love Christmas time. I wish we could be in Christmas time all year. Why? Because at least people do a better job of pretending that they know who Jesus is. God is light. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. He has, but he didn't leave. So the more that we can understand the presence of God is always present, omni, always everywhere at the same time, ever present. His ability to connect with us. Depart from me, I never knew you. Why is that in there? Because of familiarity? Because of presumption? because of all of those things we do to make ourselves feel better about who we are and what we're doing for God, when in fact we can't do anything for God without God himself. He could do no miracles there. I will tell you what I think it is, even though it's not in the scripture this way. He chose not to do. Okay, you don't believe, I don't have anything to prove to you, so no problem. You just want me to be the carpenter's son? I'm out. That's, if you know me as the carpenter's son, then who you get of me is the carpenter's son. I don't know that to be the truth, but I would. I'm not a betting woman. I don't know that to be the truth. But generally, what people think about you, that's what you give them. There's no need to prove. Jesus, like, I don't need to prove anything to you. I've got another village, a community of people over here begging me to come. The faith, I can feel the virtue from here. I can feel the woman pressing to get to the hem of my garment. And I'm going to stay here with you while you call me the carpenter's son? No problem. I'm here to do the will of him who sent me. I wish you the best. Not because that's his heart, but because he's going to honor the choice of the people. Watch that your spirit of familiarity is not cheating you out of life. And if you know that you operate in that spirit, and if you've listened to this, you won't be able to not know it anymore. You won't be able to unsee it. If you know and you choose to stay there, that doesn't mean go around breaking up with all your friends. No, that has to be the doing of the Lord too. So don't start any foolishness. What I'm saying is you have to recognize where there are familiar ties and when that could be potentially cutting you off from hearing the Lord. It doesn't mean that everything that we know or every person that we know, we shouldn't continue to know. That's not what it means. It means we have to be willing, in spite of the familiarity, we have to still find a way to let God be God. That's what we don't get. That's what we don't get. Because we will think, you know, I got my ride or die crew. Okay, guess what? They're not going to be with you on Judgment Day. They might be on one side. You're going to be on the other having to answer to the Lord. So get it together. That's what we have to do now. We have to get it together because each of us has to stand before the Lord alone. We're not going to have a posse. We're not going to have a ride or die. We're not going to have anybody to blame. We have to here study to show ourselves approved. Not just here. Do you know why we have to do that? Because once we transition, we don't get that opportunity again. That's why the Lord says, depart from me, I never knew you. He's not talking about he didn't die for us. He's not saying he doesn't know our names. He's saying that you never allowed me to work through you. You took the blessing, but you wanted to be blessed, but you were not a blessing. That's calling God a liar, right? Because his whole intent, he is life. So if we say, I just want the blessing, what we're saying is we're calling God a liar. We're proving something because we want to consume a place. He says, you ask, this is funny. I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny. Because he says, you have not because you ask not. Then we skip the whole rest of that scripture, which sets it up. And we go around and saying, well, you have not because you ask not. You might as well ask. That's the problem right there. He's not saying. He's telling us, one, part of the problem is you don't, for not having whatever the thing is you're not asking. Then when you ask for the wrong thing for the wrong reason. So he's given the whole litany of the problem of prayer. How does this tie into the miracles? Well, because it's clear that when we subscribe to our own understanding, then we are going to be asking in the wrong way, be recognizing people out of familiarity. We are setting the standard. God doesn't live down to our standard. Notice I did say down. That was intentional. He doesn't live down to our standard. He calls up to us to live up to his. But he doesn't just call us. He makes it possible for us in Christ, then gave his spirit, the same spirit that's in Christ, to come help us do it. Another helper, the comforter. Why? Because some of the process is painful. What do you need comfort for if there's no challenge? And it doesn't have to be always tragedy. Sometimes it's just painful just to recognize what a situation you're in. Sometimes it's humbling. Humbling yourself is painful. Why? Because ego is telling you all that in 15 bags of chips. It's not that we are bad in the sense that we have to beat ourselves up. He's saying, I've done all this for you. You either believe me or you don't. He could do no miracles there because he was the carpenter's son. He might have gone to build him a house. Right? Because how you see me, that's how you're going to get me. But that doesn't mean that he was compromising Jesus, who he is. There's no turning. There's no shadow. There's no darkness in him. So he could very clearly say, okay, well, based on how you see me, we're not going to do this part right now. I have some other people that are ready to connect and engage in with me in faith. So I'm going to go see them. If you need me for some carpentry needs. So he doesn't have to compromise himself, but he also doesn't have to prove himself. Whether or not we believe in Jesus Christ does not determine his existence. The reason we're here is determined, however, by his existence. We don't determine it, but we're determined by his existence. That may be a little bit confusing. I'm not sure I said it right, but hopefully you heard what I meant. More importantly, not just what I meant, but what the Spirit of God is saying to us through that. He could do no miracles there because he was the carpenter's son. He wasn't the Christ, the Son of God. He wasn't the miracle worker. Not just a worker. Jesus doesn't do miracles. He is the miracle. So he's giving of himself once again. Miracle worker. No, he is the miracle. So when we receive a miracle, that's a touch from Jesus. When we become a miracle, that's a bigger touch. I say that jokingly, but I kind of mean it. So just understand that there we need support systems, we need connections, we need family, we need those things. Some not to the degree that we think, particularly when it comes to our friend circles. You have to watch. And if you're going to have a lot of friends, so quote unquote, if you're going to have a lot of friends, you better know those who labor among you. That's not just a work-related term. That's all. If we're working together doing anything, you better know it. Better know what you're working with. But don't be of in that group who says, oh, that's just Jesus. He's a carpenter's son. Guess what? That's not a pivot out of cursing into blessing. You just walked into more cursing. Why? Because you're now operating according to the flesh. And the word of God clearly says, no flesh shall glory in my presence. So if you're going to believe, believe. If you're not, stop playing. Because we either way, we have to give an account. Right? Accountability is for everybody. So I want to encourage you. Be the place, even if you're just by yourself, Be the place and the person where Jesus can be the miracle he is to you, where you can be the beneficiary of everything that he's done, where you can have a little talk or two or three or 100 with Jesus and tell him all about your problems, and you end up walking in obedience to him, and you realize that those things fall off as you continue to obey and to trust. Be a place where he can abide and reside. He does anyway. He's always in the room, always the first person. I agape you. I bless you. I thank you for joining me. I ask the Lord to multiply your time back to you in ways that you have not yet imagined. I thank him for you, for us, for what he's doing in and through our lives, and I pray by the Spirit of God that we will become, allow him to make us and mold us and shape us into the vessels he created us to be since before the foundation of the world. My name is Michelle. Thank you for joining me for this segment of Daily Bread with Jam, a Holy Spirit You Channel podcast. Please like, share, and do all of those things to help out the channel. I'm grateful for you. Take care. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.